You're listening to Country Life with Keith Fahey on Galway Bay FM.
Good evening, you're listening to Country Life this week with me, Keith Fahey. First up this evening, we have Mark O'Riordan, who won the Macra Mr. Personality Award for 2024. We have Stuart Anthony discussing Hay versus Haylage. We also have Professor Nick Holden on the Fast IP programme, which he is leading. So we'll discuss more on that. Plus, as always, we'll have some farming news from across the country and indeed the county. And we'll have some Mart reports and some community news also. So we're delighted to have Mark O'Riordan this week, who won the Macra's Mr. Personality of 2024. Mark also works in Dairy Gold as a tillage advisor there as well, and organises a lot of a lot to do with the tillage side of things there. We also have Stuart Anthony there, who we had on about a year ago, discussing the Philemon film for the plastic on bales. So he's also going to cover a little bit on hay versus haylage there as well, based in the UK. Stuart Anthony is based in the UK. We also have Professor Nick Holden there from the Fast IP programme, which he is leading, and he will explain what the programme is about, and a lot of different other options there available as well to people, and in relation to innovation and a lot of different topics to be covered there as well. Looking at today's Farming Independent, eradication of TB in Ireland is doomed to fail, says from vets, writes Kieran Moore. Study reveals no confidence in the programme and bullying tactics. Most vets do not believe the bovine TB eradication can be achieved in Ireland by 2030 or at all. This is particularly the case if there is a natural host in the environment and without an effective vaccine for cattle. That's according to a recent published Department of Agriculture research paper fund, which is seen by the Farming Independent. The research has surveyed vets' views on state long-running TB eradication programme, on which an estimated $5 billion has been spent. Also there, the minister pledges 100 per hectare for tillage farmers, writes Margaret Donnelly. Agriculture Minister Charlie McCallinog says farmers who plant field crops this year will receive €100 per hectare. It's going to cost an awful lot more for farmers to sow that. We've been talking to Mark Reardon as well there earlier on the phone, and he's going to talk to us as well about his work with Dairy Gold, and indeed he has walked a lot of crops throughout his region there in Munster, and how the most of the winter crops have actually failed. So it's going to be a massively tough year for tillage farmers, and indeed it could drive the price up as well of meal and meal as well for the next winter. So looking at some Mart reports this week, the Montbellio Mart sheep sale on the Friday the 12th of April. A smaller number of cattle on offer to the previous week. Plainer lots were harder sold. One Charlie 22 born heifer at 570 kilos sold for 1500. One limousine heifer at 22 born 515 kilos sold for 1400. One stripper cow 680 kilos sold for 1450. Sale in person and online with the Mart I app begins at 6 p.m. and gates open at 4 p.m. Ring display includes the ICBS star rating. Montbellio Mart sheep sale on Saturday the 13th. A larger number of sheep on offer to the previous week. A small number of spring lambs on offer. Hoggets met with a very strong trade with prices up by 10 to 15 euro per head on the previous week for all lots. Also a large number of stag ewes met with a very strong trade for fleshy ewes. Brisk trade for ewes with lambs at foot. Sample prices for spring lambs included 8 lambs at 37.5 kilos selling for 160, 3 lambs at 40.5 kilos selling for 160, 1 lamb at 47 kilos selling for 217 euro, 2 lambs at 51.5 kilos selling for 228, hoggets 11 ewe hoggets at 58 kilos selling for 228, 5 ewe hoggets at 49.5 kilos selling for 207, and two hoggets at 29.5 kilos selling for 117. Looking at the stag ewes there from Montbellio Mart, five ewes at 73.5 kilos selling one for 150, one ewe at 102 kilos selling for 222, and ewes with lambs at foot, one first crop ewe with two strong lambs at foot sold for 342, one first crop ewe with a single lamb at foot sold for 272, and one third crop ewe with a twin lambs at foot sold for 190, and more information can be got at www.montbellio.ie, and you can also email them at mart@montbellio.ie, and also follow them on Facebook, and their number is 090-967-9660, and also the Keepack Shearfest 2024 on the 1st and 2nd of June is on the Montbellio Mart grounds, and more information can be got in relation to that on www.shearfest.ie. And we had Brian McHale on a couple of weeks ago who spoke about the event, so it's great for the locality, and a lot of organisation has gone on ahead of the Montbellio Mart there as well, so they've a lot of hard work put in there, so we wish them all the best. So more information can be got at shearfest.ie. Looking at yesterday's Tuam Mart report, wet weather not affecting prices at Tuam Mart on Monday the 15th, writes Marion Devan. Sample cow prices at 675 kilos for limousine cow at 1640 or 243 a kilo, 625 kilo limousine cow at 1640 or 262 a kilo. Looking at some sample heifer prices there, at 285 kilo Charlie med 870 or 305 a kilo, and 575 kilo limousine med 1750 or 304 a kilo. Looking at some sample bullocks, included a 680 kilo cemental cross bullock sold for 2090 and a 575 kilo limousine sold for 1690. Sample weaning heifer prices included a 315 kilo limousine heifer making 1000 and a 230 kilo limousine heifer making 850. Sample weaning bull prices included a 300 kilo limousine made 1220 and a 360 kilo limousine made 1300 and a 375 kilo Charlie made 1300 or 347 kilo. So some very good prices there for lighter type cattle. Lochray Mart sent into us there from the Lochray Mart sheep. A small but vibrant sale last Thursday met with 100% clearance. The spring lambs are in high demand with prices averaging at around €200. Hoggets numbers are reduced but still in high demand. The cull yo trade was burning hot with prices up to €276 achieved. A spring lamb at 40.7 kilos selling for 183, at 46.3 kilos selling for 200. Cull yo's at 92 kilos selling for €219, and 155 kilos selling for €244, and 122 kilo yo selling for €276. So some phenomenal prices there for some cull yo's. Sheep sale every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. A super yard of cattle turned out for the annual Councillor Michael Fahey Memorial Cup last Saturday with only 9 lots unsold. The weather didn't affect the trade, with feedlot agents very eager along with exporters. Cows were in good demand with prices up to €266 per kilo. Top prices of €1,960 for Hereford Cross weighing 820 kilos. There was a handful of weanings present with which were swiped up by eager farmers and exporters, with the weaning heifers making up to 347 per kilo and weaning bulls making up to €3.34 per kilo. Heifers at 245 kilos selling for 790. That was a limousine cross. Another limousine at 270 kilos selling for 880. So looking at the bulls, 5 Frisian bulls at 300 kilos met 580 or 193 a kilo, 6 Frisians at 305 kilos selling for 600 or 197 a kilo, a limousine at 335 kilos selling for 1120 or 334 a kilo. Heifer numbers were stronger than the expected after the special breeding sale last week. Prices met up to 344 for a limousine 385 kilos selling for 1300 or 338 a kilo. An Arbre Cross at 465 selling for 1480 or 318 a kilo. It was the bullocks that was the trade of the day, with the annual Memorial Cup with the highest price per kilo decided who the winner was. Prices averaged 320 overall, with a very eager demand for export for the heavier bullocks. Two limousines at 323 kilos selling for 1180, an Angus at 480 kilos selling for 1430, two Charlies at 495 kilos selling for 1570, a Hereford at 585 kilos selling for 1780 or 304 a kilo. Cattle sales every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Weanings are now sold on Saturdays after the cull cows. Organic cattle sale Saturday the 27th of April in conjunction with the general cattle sale, and you can contact them at 091 841 219. So that is the Lochray Mart report. Also very interesting article there from Kieran Moore on what vets really think about eradicating TB in this today's Farming Independent. Looking at it there, there's a number of different articles there that are very interesting to see. Also, the old Irish goat is our living, breathing heritage. How could we let them die out or be hunted for sport, writes Asmia Riaz. Ireland's only native breed of goat has no legal protection and is being targeted by trophy hunters paying big bucks on blood sport tour packages. Here's how a small conservation program is fighting to keep them alive. So that's on the front page of the Farming or the Irish Independent this year, this week. And the very interesting article in relation to that. And Henry Walsh, the dairy farmer there from Galway. Farmers need more government support now more than ever, he writes, in relation to the Irish. In the Irish Farming Independent today, in relation to nitrates, derogation, fodder and temporary Taoiseach covered there by Henry. So interesting article there. Martin Coughlin writes, factories taking advantage of farmers' weather problems, states the IFA. Prices for steers this week, 5.10 to 5.15 and heifers 5.15 to 5.20. So they look to be back a little bit this week. So first up on Country Life this evening, we're delighted to have Stuart Anthony, who we had on before, account manager for Berry Flexibles company in the UK. Stuart, you're very welcome on to Country Life. Firstly, maybe you might give an introduction to yourself. I think we had you on about a year and a half ago, covering the film on film for the Silage, Silage Plastic. You might tell us maybe a little bit about yourself and the company you're working for.
Thanks for that. I'm Stuart Anthony, as you already mentioned. I work for Berry Flexibles, which was formerly known as Berry BPI. My role within the Republic of Ireland would be doing the technical side of the business and those inputs and advising and helping our customers there. And that is also extended throughout the UK as well, where we do a lot of practical training with customers and advice and just a good technical input.
Okay, very good. We had you on about a year and a half ago where we covered a little bit on the film on film, so I suppose maybe you might explain this for people that might be unfamiliar with it. I know we went through it a little bit in the past. Maybe the benefits of it and why farmers maybe should consider it.
We have discussed it before, and obviously the Irish market is the leader with where we are with film on film, is where we don't use net around the barrel of the bale. We actually place a barrel wrap. Now, this leads to a higher quality silage because obviously the bale is bound very tight when it leaves the chamber. It doesn't expand, so less oxygen gets in. And also, if a bale does get damaged during the winter with a cat or a bramble, because it's bound tightly across the bale, across the barrel of the bale, the mold doesn't spread. Obviously, we've done independent work, and there's an increase in milk yield and live weight gain, with all the correct circumstances. But also, it's very good, especially with your recycling scheme. You don't have to separate the bale, the net, and the string. And I think this is also becoming more prevalent in the UK as well, but the popularity is now catching on here because people see such a difference in silage quality and the ease of use of it. And obviously, we do find, as a business, we have a recycling division where we recycle 70,000 tonnes of bale wrap a year within Berry. But a net can be more challenging to recycle compared with plastics or string. So, you know, there's a lot of variants that make it a very popular choice going forward.
Okay, very good. And then there's less wastage as well, according to the your own surveys on that.
Yes. We did independent trials carried out by Dr. Dave Davis, formerly of Ibers at Aberystwyth. Overall, he took it and he analysed any moulds in there. There was a large reduction of moulds, but also from that point of view, which is obviously because there's more plastic around the bale, so that once you do that, you do help reduce the amount of mould, but also it increased in your D values and your ME, because if you can, obviously, you know yourself in your position, the more oxygen you keep away from silage, the better the silage quality is going to be. So, yes, there is certainly an increase in that. But what was also interesting, especially as we now go into this time of year when people are using bales from the end of the stack in those trials, the bales maintained the higher quality with having film on film after 12 months than those with film on net. I appreciate some of the values have gone down a little bit, but it maintained the higher levels than with film and net. So, obviously, with the weather conditions like they're now, people are probably using a lot of silage, which they hadn't anticipated using from various sources.
Okay, very interesting. You're also covering, you're doing some research there on haylage versus hay. You might tell us maybe a little bit about the study, I suppose, number one, why you did it, and why farmers should consider.
As we know, I think we come July, we often see if the weather conditions are right, that farmers, because it can be handy, you know, so make some small bales in the pens with lambing or young calves from a handy point of view. And also they would consider it a way of reducing their costs. But I think what is interesting, and we have had some work done into it, is the fact that, yes, it is, from that point of view, it is cheaper, but also I think probably you don't, the quality might be sweet smelling, but you use a lot of the feed values from it, from that point of view. And like we've discovered that, like obviously leaf loss in harvesting with haylage is about 5 to 12%. Well, as we know, the leaf, the proteins and the values are carried in the leaf. But obviously, when you're drying hay and shaking it out, you have a lot more leaf loss, and that's up to 22-26%. So you're losing feed value there. And what we've noticed is one or two sheep farmers in Wales who've actually, by making a good quality haylage rather than hay, have actually been able to take out their concentrate use, which long term is going to make their farm more productive. So yes, cheaper to begin with, but actually the long term. So, you know, hay has its place and some of them make it, but it does look cheap to start with, but it may be more costly as you go on into the winter in feed value terms.
Suppose, you know, this year we've seen a massive shortage of fodder in certain areas, I suppose, probably more in areas where maybe they don't usually get a shorter winter, I suppose, but we've dealt with, you know, an awful lot of tough conditions. I suppose it's really important that farmers, you know, now, you know, to have the reserve for fodder for the winter coming, as well as, you know, we seem to get very variable weather. What's it like being with ye?
We would have it. Knowing the weather patterns, I'd imagine they dropped even more every year, but we are incredibly wet. I think in the month of March, we in Wales, we'd had a third more rain than we normally used to, and we'd be very similar situation, especially people who'd be perhaps having springtime in herds on your system turning out in that February into March, and using bales that have been so wet. Some have been out, some have made true messes. And obviously, with clamps emptying as well and bales, people are struggling with, you know, and I've heard over yourselves as well, milk yield is dropping away because obviously it's variable qualities of silage going in, you know, and someone's even looking to purchase clamp maize to try and keep those levels up during the sort of the important peak of the milk production. But I think this focus is already, we're talking about this winter and haven't got out of it yet, but it's always focusing on making the very best we can and making sure it's looked after so that we do come later into the season and into this time of year, and perhaps in the past you haven't been such a demand for silage, that we have good enough quality on the farm that we've made ourselves. Because once you start buying in, you have so many variables in the quality that you're going to receive.
Okay, and what part of Wales are you in yourself, or what's the main type of farming enterprise around your own area?
Well, in our area, I live right over on the east part of Wales, which is on the Welsh border. So we're actually very fortunate just where I am that we have quite a lot of mixed farming. We have dairy farming, but mainly beef and sheep. Obviously, moving to mid Wales will be a lot of sheep. But so, you know, they've had a tough time lambing. Then when you go out across West Wales, heading out towards your part of the world, a lot of dairy cows down there. But as I said, no turnouts, and those that have turned out have had a truly horrific mess. So I think at the moment, the whole state of agriculture is just hoping for good weather and see if we can make our way to some of the spring. Well, I hope it doesn't go from winter to summer straight away, but like it did last year, but you can see it happening, can't you?
Yeah, for sure. And tillage crops is a big issue here in Ireland. A lot of winter crops that were sown maybe didn't come very well or come at all. Are you seeing the same problem over your side?
Yeah, I think they say like a third of the winter wheat is in a very, very poor state, either very patchy or hasn't come through, weathered out. And I think that some of the trouble as well has been so wet, people have been delayed in getting nitrogen on there to try and get that boost and take some of the yellowness out of the crops. Where they have got on, probably like yourselves, they've made some severe mess. Now for spring planting, I would say that there is nothing done at the moment. No spring sprouts in the ground, no potato ground ploughed or ready to go. So I think it's going to be a very busy time when May gets here, and hopefully the weather picks up. But obviously, yields on cereals are going away as the time goes on, delaying planting. So I think it's very, very difficult at the moment all round.
It will, and it's going to have a knock-on effect on concentrate, maybe availability and indeed price for the winter coming.
I think you can say that with the wheat. I think the wheat yield will be down by looking at the poor crops and the patches and where it hasn't come. So inevitably, it will make the wheat price rise, which is not going to help the livestock farmer when his inputs next winter. So yeah, it is going to be challenging, but to that end, we almost know that's going to happen. So I think the focus on making the highest quality silage we can as possible is going to be an even bigger emphasis this year, to be honest with you.
Thanks a million, Stuart. Anthony, there for coming on. If people want to look or find out more about your company or what you do, how can they find out more?
They can go onto our Berry Global site, also go onto the Silotite website, which is our brand in Ireland, Silotite Silage Film, and they can find all about net replacement films, our longer rolls, 1800 metres. So go online and put in Silotite or Berry Global and they will take you to those sites.
Thanks very much for coming on Country Life.
So next up on Country Life, we're delighted to have Professor Nick Holden from the Fast IP program. You're welcome onto Country Life, Professor. You might tell us maybe a little bit about Fast IP and what's it about.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to talk to you. Fast IP is a food and agriculture sustainable technology innovation program. This is a specialist educational program focused on the agri-food sector. And what it will do is enable innovation curious and entrepreneurially minded professionals to learn, explore, apply skills for the rapid discovery and advancement of business ideas aimed specifically at the agriculture and food industry. These will apply to Europe, Ireland, beyond, wherever, should be scalable. So what we're trying to do is make it easy for really highly motivated people to be commercially successful by providing all the skills they need, unfettered access to experts, direct lines to funders and investors and so on, so that it's really straightforward to be able to focus on building a viable business in the ag tech sector.
Okay, very interesting. And how is the program funded then?
So it's rather convoluted funding, but the funding is managed by Enterprise Ireland through its Innovators Initiative, and this is a needs-led funding program. There's the example that people, if you're in the sector, you would know about would be BioInnovating Galway University. And so it's mimicking that approach. And the money then comes from the European Union through the Regional Development Fund, and in our case, that's managed by the Southern Regional Assembly. And then other funding is coming directly from the government of Ireland. And the whole thing is managed by Enterprise Ireland.
Okay. And who is the ideal, I suppose, participant for this Fast IP program? Do you have to have a background or agricultural experience or that?
So the ideal participant is somebody who's highly motivated, resilient, willing to take a risk and driven to be successful. So we're looking for people who have 3 years at least experience after doing a degree, have a passion for innovation, commercial development, and want to create their own business. If people don't have a degree, and that's perfectly okay, as long as you've got a bit more work experience, maybe 5 or more years, then you could be considered for the program. We want people with backgrounds that are commercial, technical, and in the agri-food sector. There's no specific description of what we want. We'll consider anybody. You don't have to have a background in agricultural food. An interest in it is obviously highly desirable. But all you have to do to be considered is to submit a CV, and in that CV, convince us that you're motivated, driven, up for the challenge of identifying needs and solutions and creating a business. And for those who aren't ready yet, if you submit the CV and you're not ready yet, we can give feedback later and we can help you get ready to be a suitable applicant in the future. We'll be running this program for at least 6 years.
Okay, very good. And I suppose what types of, immersive environments will participants spend time in, and why is maybe so important?
Yeah, the phrase immersive environment is a strange one. All that really means is it's the place where stuff happens. It's where the action is. So in the case of agri-food, that's on the farm. It's in primary processing or food production plants. It could be anything around the value chain, companies that are valorizing residues and wastes, whatever, in the bioeconomy. So it's the place where things are actually happening. And it's important for people to be there so they understand what the real needs are. It's okay for me in my university role to talk about what the industry needs and what people need, and I can imagine these things, but to actually create a successful business and to innovate for the industry, we need people on the ground, standing in the mud or standing in a factory and looking at what is going on and working out where the needs are, validating those needs with the people who work there, and then coming up with solutions that they can commercialize.
Okay, and there's a tax-free scholarship of 38,000. I suppose, how does this work, and maybe what criteria must participants have to be eligible for the scholarship?
Well, every participant that we bring onto the program will be eligible for the scholarship. So if we take you on, you're eligible. In order to be on the program, you have to be a full-time student. So that means that you don't do anything else. Now, we can't sign people up and say you're not allowed to work, you're not allowed to do anything else. We do expect a full-time participation. However, if somebody does get the scholarship and does do taxable work, so they get some income from work, then that scholarship will be liable to tax. And that's between them and the Revenue Commissioners. We have no part of that. But in the same way you would make a tax declaration for any other income, you would do that in this case. The other place to be a little wary is that if a participant makes value for an existing company, whether they're paid for that or not, then the Revenue Commissioners can consider that to require the scholarship to be taxed. So that the message is very clear. If you do this program, this is what you do for a year. And we're giving such a big scholarship compared to other programs to make it possible for people to be able to disconnect from what they've been doing on a day-to-day basis and focus 100% on FastIP and the work that we're trying to get them to do and to accelerate this innovation.
Okay. And are there any registration fees for the program?
There is a fee, but anybody who is eligible for European Union fees in Ireland, so that's any European citizen, and anybody who is resident in Ireland for typically it's more than 5 years, but there are details of the rules around visa status, but they're provided by the university. They don't have to pay fees. We will cover those fees in full. Anybody who isn't eligible for the EU fee, they will have to pay a fee top-up, which will require them to pay €21,000. So it's very appealing for an EU citizen or somebody eligible for EU fees. It's still very appealing and compared to, say, US education, very cheap for non-EU participants, but there will be a requirement for them to pay that if they wish to take part.
And how do people apply for the program?
They can apply by registering their interest, and at the moment we're doing that through FRS recruitment. So if you just Google FAST-IP, the first thing that comes up is our website. I tested that a few minutes ago to make sure it worked. And there is a link there to the frsrecruitment.com/FAST-IP. And there you can simply provide your name, your current employment details, if you have them, and upload a CV. And remember, when doing that, that CV has to tell us about why what your experience is, why you're passionate about this, why you have a leaning or an aptitude towards innovation and entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Because these are the things we will be looking for to select shortlisted candidates for interview.
Very good. And I suppose what makes FastIP different from other programs similar to New Frontiers or that?
Well, most other programs are supporting people who already have an idea or typically already have a business. So, you know, we would take people on to accelerator programs, say in AgTech UCD, for people who have agriculture-related business ideas, but they already exist. So maybe somebody has a technology and they think it's a marketable idea and they will go on to a program. FastIP is completely different in that when we start, there are no ideas on the table. We just want people who want to find what the needs are, marry those up to solutions, and then define the value that can be got from doing that. So in FastIP, it's the person first, then the idea, then the solution. And in the other programs, it tends to be the person has the idea, and it's just trying to make that idea into something that can be useful to the market. So it's a different approach to the problem entirely.
Very good. Professor Nick Holden, FastIP Program Lead. Very good to have you on Country Life. And if more people want to find out more about that, you might just give a bit of information there again on it.
So thank you very much for inviting me to talk to you. Yeah, if you want to know more, the quickest and easiest way is to just Google FAST-IP, or if you go to frsrecruitment.com/FAST-IP, you will also find where you can apply to the programme. And as I say, thank you very much for letting me speak to you today.
No worries. Thanks a million.
So you're welcome back after the break on Country Life with me, Keith Fahey. Next up, we're delighted to have Mark Reardon, who won the Mr. Personality competition for 2024 for Mockra. Well done. We're delighted for you, Mark. A fantastic achievement. Is it a bit like the Lovely Ladies competition and Father Ted, or is it obviously a much more prestigious award than that?
I don't know. Would it be much more prestigious than Father Ted? But I suppose it would be up there, yeah, to be along them lines, I suppose, for someone looking at it.
Very good, fair play to you. Congrats, we're delighted for you. You might tell us maybe a little bit about yourself first, and we might talk more about the competition after.
No worries at all, yeah. So my own name is Mark Reardon. I'm from Kenmare down in County Kerry. I would have gone to secondary school in Kenmare, and I always had an interest in farming. So I actually went to CIT, Cork Institute of Technology, along with Clannachilty Ag College. I did my 4 years there. So I graduated from there in 2022 in the agricultural course. From there, then I joined Dairy Gold in September 2022 in the graduate program. I suppose I was kind of unsure what I wanted to do within the agri industry. I know it's where I wanted to be. So the thing about the graduate program is you cover a lot of different roles and areas of the business before you maybe specialise in an area you've an interest in. So with that, I would have done roles in logistics with the delivery of bag feed and fertilizer to our customers just across Munster. From there, then I would have gone into grain operations, I suppose, in June 2023. And from there, then I actually finished up the graduate program, finished up in January 24. And I suppose I've kind of taken on what we call an agri-operations role here in Dairy Gold. So I'd be working closely with the production team here above in the feed mill here in Lumbertown. But I also still work in the grain operations, liaising with growers and our intake sites there across Munster as well.
Okay, very good. And are you from a farm yourself?
I am indeed, yeah. So I'm at home farming with my father at the moment. We run 40 cow suckler herd, predominantly Limousine Charlotte crosses, all awesome calving. But unfortunately, just like everything at the moment, it's just not viable for me to be at home. So it's part-time based at the moment. So that's why I have the job here at Dairy Gold. But I'm very proud to be a suckler farmer, and like that, I'm advocated widely across my social media, and anyone who knows me before the competition 2 weekends ago, that I was always a big advocate for the part-time farmer and the suckler scene.
Okay, very good. And what kind of what breeds are you running there? What kind of a system are you selling, weanlings or store cattle or finishing them? Or
so, tis all weanling, tis all AI cattle. So predominantly Charolais. We've actually, since the last 2 years, I suppose, on the heifers, we started using Arbrac. We just found when we were using the limousines, they were just coming across a bit plain. So we tried the Arbracs, and in fairness, they seem to be coming on well. But like that, predominantly Charolais cattle, Fiston and Lathan. But that's what we would have predominantly used. All that, we don't store anyway. So we wean them then maybe after about 9 months. So we'll be calving in September. Be weaning. We're actually weaning a good shot from this time of year. We'll be selling them for early market at the end of April. We'll probably sell another bunch at the end of June, and like that, we'll be coming to calving then again around, actually earlier this year, we'll be calving around the second week of August this year. We just find that the calves are coming in a bit stronger in the winter, so they're that bit more resistant to disease and things.
Kenmare would be a well-known area for, we'd say, very good quality cattle and indeed weanlings as well, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. It plays into our benefit too. We see there, especially with the limousine cows, when you're crossing a Charolais off them, there seems to be a good market for that red Charolais down our neck of the woods. So it plays into our hands that way. I know people talk about faraway fields being greener in terms of selling, but in fairness, we could never really fault Kenmare on that front. And maybe it's just the type of cattle we have, but we've always found to get on very well there, so that's where they would go predominantly.
Okay, very good. And you mentioned there Dairy Gold. You're working with Dairy Gold. You mentioned tillage crops. As part of your job, you walk tillage crops as well. You must be seeing an awful lot of mixed, I suppose, results and some very challenging fields and crops at the minute.
Absolutely, Keith. And like I make no lie about it. Up until June last year, I don't think I could tell you the difference between a wheat and a barley crop. But in fairness, the beef and tillage team here, they're accredited themselves. They took me on along with the operations team. And we've seen the struggle, especially the last year with harvest. But just a few points worth noting, I suppose, is the likes of the beans crop out there at the moment. So for beans last year, there was a 7 million euro initiative laid out for it, which was working out about 584 euro a hectare in 2023. Now, the idea that was it underwritten any exposure your crop had, and it kept your profit above water. I suppose another few things we're seeing just with the way tillage has gone this year is it's important that growers get their seed in early for security purposes, as unfortunately there is actually a scarcity of seed out there at the moment. Further to that, it's important there, we see last week that the government laid out a scheme of a support of 100 euro a hectare. And what I think is important for growers to recognise in this is it's not the monetary value in it. It's that we can recognise that the government sees the value in the industry and it is being recognised. Like, along with the fodder support scheme, we see that the government has ambitious targets with the climate action plan to increase the tillage area in Ireland to 400,000 hectares. So that can only be a good thing and a future prospect for the industry. I suppose, further to build on them points, just there's no denying we're after an incredibly hard few months. And with winter barley and winter wheat in, I know some growers may have struggled to roll crops. They might have struggled to fertilise and spray. But it is important that the husbandry for them winter crops is still looked after. Like, there is still good returns to be got out of it, because especially with the last, I suppose, 2 weeks, when we've seen temperatures start to increase, crops are starting to come on leaps and bounds. So it is very important that them crops are nourished. And I suppose just two more points I might touch on is it's not too late to sow for spring barley. If you think back to 2013, we were in very similar circumstances where crops were sown very late in the year. And I suppose farmers might have been disincentivized to do so. But it is important we try and get the crops out. But further to saying that, it is important not to go into fields where conditions mightn't be ideal, because I know we'll probably get excited, especially the last 2 or 3 days now where we've seen the sun start to come back and growers are probably very ambitious or are trying to get out to fields early. It was put in a great analogy to me. When you have a winter crop, it's like a marathon. It's going in September, and if conditions go bad, the crop has time to adjust and get used to the climate we're having at the moment. Whereas when you have a spring crop, it's more like a sprint. You're harvesting that spring crop come maybe autumn, September. And if you're going to not ideal conditions this time, you're not giving it the time it needs, you're going to be paying the dividends for that when it comes to harvest. So like it's a marathon versus a sprint when you're talking the winter and spring crops. So I know we're after the tough few weeks, but it is important to give them crops a chance to come on. And I suppose another thing, this is crass the agricultural scene, not just specific to tillage, but it's important that our government are still trying to strike that balance between food security but being environmentally sustainable as well. And I think we're very quick to maybe bash the government, or we might think the government are quick to come at us, but there is a balance there to be met, and we will get it. But it's the likes of these few farmers of years that we will get that balance, but there's just time in itself. Patience, and we will get there eventually.
Yeah, very good analogy there as well. And I suppose, you know, all the other sectors in terms of whether it be beef, cattle, sheep or dairy are so dependent on the tillage sector as well for grain and indeed straw. And up around our area here in Galway, straw is as scarce as hen's teeth. Maybe it's not, it might be more a bit plentiful down by E, but you know, the tillage sector, you know, is really extremely important for every other industry as well.
It is, absolutely. And we're very big, I know, with their own company here, Dairy Gold, we're very big on using native cereals in our animal feed. But it's just coming back to that point with food security, and you speak of straw there. Like, unfortunately, we see winter crops out there at the moment that mightn't have been rolled. Straw quality mightn't be hectic coming in July time. But look, it's the hand we have at the moment, and we're just going to have to play with it. But it goes back to my point earlier. It is very important that we do try and still get spring crops in. Nothing has been lost yet. Fair enough. We may lose a bit of yield with the few weeks we've lost at the end of March and the start of April. But it is very important that growers who do have seed out there to get it in and try and reap the rewards for it then come September time or August time.
Tell us a bit about the competition, Mark. I suppose how it came about and what's involved. Kilmare is your own local club, I hear.
Absolutely, yeah. So with the Mr. Personality Festival, so you'd have different qualifying rounds. So if you went back to, I suppose, early February, we would have had a qualifying round in Killarney. So look, there was a few of us went for it. There was a few more titles up for grabs on the night. So we had Queen of the Land, Blue Jeans, and Queen of the Castle. There are other macro festivals on later in the year. So look, I went up and I did my piece. You just talk about yourself and you can give a bit of a party piece if you want. And there was other members from my club and other members from Kerry participating. But look, I got picked to go and I was more than happy to do it. So we went up then Friday, 2 weekends ago now, I suppose. So we went up to the Talbot Hotel in Clanmel. And the first thing we did was we met all the other Mr. P's and we headed to the Coolmore Stud Farm. It was a great opportunity to see the Coolmore operation, but better than that, again, it gave us a chance to meet the other Mr. P's, get to know each other, get to know each other's characters. Like that, we were scattered from all four corners of the country, so it gave us a great opportunity to mingle and meet each other. So from there, then we would have come back into the Talbot around 4 or 5 o'clock. We went up, got changed, and so be it, and we had our meal then. So then after the meal, we would have had our on-stage interviews. Now, the on-stage interviews was, you just talk about yourself, you can do a bit of a party piece if you want, you can tell an embarrassing story, it was totally up to you. But it just gave people a chance to see who you were, and it also gave the three judges a chance to see you and who you are. The whole point of the weekend with Mr. Personality is you just be yourself. And I think if you try not to be yourself, you're only cutting yourself, first of all, but people will see through that very quickly. So like the whole idea of the weekend is you be you. You're there to make friends. You'll make friends for life and memories as well. But further from that, then I suppose the Saturday morning, we had jiving and line dancing lessons. And then we would have had the private interviews with the three judges. Now, that only took about 10 minutes, but you talk about your experience of Macra, why you should be picked to be Mr. P, your favourite traits about you, I suppose, and things. And when the private interviews were done then, we had team building exercises. So the team building exercises was a chance, again, to mingle with the other Mr. P's, but I suppose it gave the judges a chance maybe to see how you got on in groups, if you could lead a group or if you were inclusive of everyone. And after that, then, we had the banquet, which was Saturday night. So the banquet was sold out, about 400 people. And like that, there were tickets sold for after. There was a load of people there. And look, it was announced at midnight that I'd won it. And I was over the moon. But like I said, I keep coming back to just Macra is a very special organisation, and it's been a very special organisation to me as well. And I think there's a misconception out there at the moment that we're just for farmers. It's absolutely not the case. We're an organisation for 17 to 35 year olds, but it's an organisation that has so many different aspects. There's something in it for everyone. Like, we do sport, drama, debating, public speaking. In Kerry ourselves, we stand at fair days. That there really is something for everyone. It is a sense of community, a sense of belonging that I don't think you get in a lot of other places.
Very good. Fair play to you. We're delighted for you, and a fantastic achievement. And are Kerry going to win All-Ireland?
I hope so. Well, I'm a Kerry man, so I'll be doubtful away until about July, and then I'll start to park up, I suppose.
Very good, very good. Great to have you on, Mark. Fair play to you. You've an awful lot achieved and done since you graduated only 2 years ago. So long may continue, and the best luck with your own career and that as well. So we hope that's all you win this year. Now, hopefully, now you can't win it all now either. You know that.
We never said no yet.
No, fair play to you. We're delighted for you. Thanks a million, Mark Reardon, Mr. Personality for 2024 for Macra, from Kinmare Macra Club on Country Life there. So thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks very much, Keith, and thanks for having me on.
So that's it this week from Country Life and me, Keith Fahey, and all here in Galway Bay FM. We'd like to thank you for listening. We'd like to thank our speakers, Mark Reardon there, Mr. Personality from Macra 2024. We'd also like to thank Stuart Anthony on the Hay versus Haylage debate. And we'd also thank Professor Nick Holden from Fast IP programme there as well. So we'd like to thank you for listening. We hope you have a lovely evening. Next up is Melodies, followed by The Nightfly.